The following message was given by brothers Abraham Shaw and Aaron Yankowski in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, October 22, 2017. The title of the message is The Cross, the Center of the Universe. Scripture verses are Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 13 through 18. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 20.
Amen. This week we come to the cross of Christ. Amen. And the cross is the center of the universe. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that is not a small statement. The cross, the center of the universe. Now, how can we say this? If the brothers could put up that diagram. So if we look at this diagram, I believe we've seen this before in the prior weeks. What we see here is a plot of the temple of God and as revealed in Ezekiel. And, you know, 2 weeks ago we covered, right, the vision of God's holy building and its unique features, right? But this week we want to focus on just one feature, and that is the center feature, which is that little box in the middle, and that little box is the altar of burnt offering. And so we see from God's perspective, the center of the temple is the altar. Okay? And the temple, you could say, in God's perspective, is the center of the city of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, you could say, from God's view, is the center of the good land. And the good land, in God's view, is the center of the inhabited earth. And we know that in relation, the relationship between God and man, earth is the center of the universe. So in God's perspective, you have the universe. The earth is the center. Of the inhabited earth, the good land is the center. Of the good land, the Jerusalem is the center. And in Jerusalem, the temple is the center. And in the temple, the altar of burnt offering is the center. It is not a small thing to say that something is the center of the universe. If you consider, oftentimes, people like to be the center of the universe. Right? Don't we all want to be the center of our universe? But according to God's view, you are not the center of the universe. Actually, the center of the universe is this altar of burnt offering. And what does the altar of burnt offering typify? I think we all know this. It typifies the cross. So that's why we can say that the cross is the center of the universe. Now, when we talk about the cross, I feel that this is a word to me too, that we often have a misunderstanding or an incorrect understanding based on our religious type of influence from the world. We may think that the cross is something of a suffering. We may think of the cross as something to be avoided. Or we may think of the cross as something that the Lord Jesus died on a little over 2,000 years ago. But we have to realize that the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross was not merely the death of one man. Actually, it was an all-inclusive death that included God, man, and all creation. And we can see this from Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, right? We read this. And through him to reconcile all things to himself. Why do all things need to be reconciled? Well, because all things are wrong. It's not just man that's wrong. It's not just sin that is wrong. Actually, all things are wrong. And so the principle of the cross is that by the cross, everything of the old creation and all things related to us have been terminated, put to death. And we see this in Romans 6:6, right? Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified. So on the one hand, we need to experience the cross day by day, and I'll speak a little bit more about this. But on the other hand, the fact of the matter is, you and I have been crucified with Christ. It's an already accomplished fact. Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him. Amen. And lest we think that this is an afterthought, the cross, you have to realize, brothers and sisters, has always been in God's plan. You know, if you look at 1 Peter 1:20, you know, this section talks about our being redeemed, right? Not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood. And 1 Peter 1:20 says, who was foreknown, this is the Lord Jesus, before the foundation of the world, but has been manifested in the last of times for your sake. So the Lamb of God who shed his blood was foreknown before the foundation of the world. So in God's plan, actually the cross has always been the center of God's plan. And then in Revelation chapter 22, we know this, it talks about the New Jerusalem, right? The verse is about the river and the tree of life. And verse 3 in chapter 22, it says, and there will no longer be a curse, and the throne of God, and listen to this, and the Lamb will be in it, and the slaves will serve him. So even in eternity, the throne is not merely just the throne of God, but it's the throne of the Lamb. So you see this thought of the cross permeates the entire Bible. And we have to see, you know, some may ask, well, isn't Christ the center of the universe? And the answer is yes, Christ is the center of the universe. But for those who know Christ, we have to realize that you can't separate the cross from Christ. Actually, the cross, you could say Christ is the center of God's purpose, and the cross is the center of God's procedure. And we know from the Bible, right, that God only gives us one person and one way. Who does God give us in his economy? It's just Christ. So when we come to the meetings, who do we want to see? Who do we want to experience? Who do we want to enjoy? Not someone good speaking, not some entertainment. We're here for Christ. Because in God's economy, he gives us one person, and that is Christ. And he also gives us one way. So for God's building, there has to be just one way. And what is that way? Well, we know that way is the way of the cross. And here, I had some feeling and some burden, because God's way is not our way. And we may know, doctrinally, okay, God's way is the cross. That means in the church life, for God's building, I need to experience the cross. But I think oftentimes in our experience, we default back to what we are. And I appreciate it very much in the ministry this week. It pointed out that man's way is the way of negotiation. And God's way is the way of termination. So how did God solve all the problems in the universe? He terminated everyone, and he terminated everything. You know, in the morning reading from day one, on Monday, it pointed out, and I won't get into all the verses, but it pointed out the 12 things of the old creation that were terminated. And I just want to read those quickly to you. If you need, you can look at the expanded morning watch. It has all the verses from Monday. It says, terminated the angelic life, terminated the human life, terminated Satan, the kingdom of Satan, the sin, sins, the world, death, flesh, our old man, the self, and all things or creation. So God's way of dealing with things isn't man's way. You know, if it were us and man fell or Satan rebelled, maybe we would say, hey, how about you just limit your power, Satan, to this area and I'll get the rest? Or how about man, you just try and, you know, we can split something. That's to negotiate. You give up something, I give up something, and we have a compromise. But actually, that's just temporary. God's way was no compromise. God's way is, it's his way, meaning it's my way. Whatever I want as God, he gets. And how does he get that? Well, he terminates. So Satan rebelled. Satan's a problem. Terminate. Man has a problem. Terminate. Their sin. Terminate. Terminate all these things on the cross. So actually, we should not be fearful of the cross. The cross is not a matter of suffering. Actually, it's a matter of termination. You know, I think all of us, we have things that we struggle with. Right? So for example, you know, maybe you're married, your wife, or you have children, right? There's a way for them to just to get under our skin. Have you ever experienced that? And so maybe you have a quick reaction. And next time, you know, you confess, you know, take the blood. The next time you resolve, okay, next time my wife says that, looks at me that way, or my kids do X, Y, or Z, I'm going to take a deep breath, calm down, I'm going to fill in the blank. Actually, all those things are just self-help. You know what will terminate? You know what we need is actually to terminate, to be terminated. That's our need. We may think that we have the power to overcome something. Maybe there's a sin that besets us. And we may say, well, I'm going to try to overcome that. But we have to realize in God's economy, His economy is not for you and me to try to do something better or to add some more practice or something to ourselves. Actually, God's way is to terminate. We have to realize that the power to deal with Satan, it's the cross. The power to deal with sins, it's the cross. The power to deal with the world, it's the cross. All these things that beset us, all of our problems, actually at the root of it is because we are not terminated. And we need to experience the cross of Christ. This matter of negotiation, I feel like we could explore that in a lot of ways. But one particular thing that impressed me this way this week was I negotiate with God a lot. Do you? You know, if I remember at one point God was touching me about a certain thing in the world, my worldliness or something like that, and I remember I negotiated with God. I said, well, if I could make it to all the Lord's Day, this was not in college, if I can make it on time to all the Lord's Day this month, then I get to like have the little thing for myself on the side. It's okay that I want to do, you know. Or, you know, say someone really loves football. Today's Sunday, there's football. And they may say, well, okay, God, I'll just DVR the morning game and I'll come to the meeting, but I'll watch it the rest of the time. That's a negotiation. And that oftentimes is the way we come to God. But God's way is not that way. Actually, how do you overcome the love for football or whatever that worldly thing is? We need to experience the cross of Christ. You know, a dead person doesn't love football, doesn't watch football. It's not worldly because they're dead. And of course, that's humanly speaking, but it's spiritually, we need to experience the cross of Christ. And I'm afraid that our concept is still too much in the old way, the natural way, which is the way we were raised, right? To negotiate. Or how about in our church service? Have you ever been in a situation? Remember one time, you know, we just started Hall 6. Do you all know this? We started Hall 6 4 weeks ago in the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And a few of us brothers, we got there the night before and we're setting up chairs. And you know, one brother had an idea, set it up this way. Another brother, set it up that way, and this reason and that reason. But you know, what was needed at the end wasn't all of our good opinions, wasn't to negotiate who had the better way. Actually, we just needed to all die, right? In our service, when there's a problem, actually, we all just need to die and let the Lord live in us and through us. That's why I appreciate it so much this week, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer what? I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. So what we need is to live the crucified life, not to negotiate how much Christ lives, but actually Christ must live all the time, 100%, not 99, not 80, not 70, not 40. It's always the crucified Christ. And, you know, I also appreciated this week very much that the cross of Christ is the center of the universe. That's from God's perspective. And I mentioned this at the beginning, we like to be the center. But I would ask this question, just consider within you, is the cross of Christ the center of your Christian life? Is the cross of Christ the center of your Christian life? And if it's not, it needs to be. And I just pray the Lord would enlighten us and would work within us, that this would become our reality. And I don't want to touch too much of this, but and I think Brother Aaron will expound more, but the cross of Christ actually leads us to the body and actually operates in the realm of the body. And for the building of the God's building, the cross is actually the center, because we need the cross, because the building of God is just Christ. Amen. So everything else has to go. And we see this, right? In Colossians 3:11, can we scroll to that verse? And I'd like to read this together. Let's read this together. Where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all in all. but Christ is all and in all. So we know Colossians talks about the new man. And I think all of us would say, amen. Christ is all and in all. Amen. But in our experience, is he all? Is he in all? Well, in order for that to be, we cannot be. For Christ to be means we are not. So we need to experience the cross of Christ. And I'd like to just point out a couple other points here, and I'll conclude. You know, the fact of the cross is actually, it's an accomplished fact. So our need is to see the fact, right? We read Romans 6:6. Let's read Romans 6:11. It says, So also you reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but living to God in Christ Jesus. So our need is to see the fact, to accept the fact, and then to apply the fact in our experience. And how do we apply this? I appreciated very much this verse this week. The first matter is we should apply it joyfully. Amen. Brothers and sisters, are you joyful about the cross? Well, the Lord Jesus was. You know, in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Listen to this. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So for the Lord Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I feel that oftentimes our natural religious concept is that the cross is a suffering, and we try to avoid it. But actually, it's through the cross as how God will gain his building. And the cross of Christ is a joyful thing. It's joyful because it's not a suffering. It's a termination. That sin that bothers you, if it gets terminated, doesn't that make you joyful? It's not a problem anymore. Actually, we see this in the book of John too, right? The grain of wheat falls into the ground. That's death. But he didn't avoid the death. Christ, because why? Out of that came life. Out of that comes life. So out of our experience of the cross of Christ, on the one hand, negatively, our problems are solved. But on the other hand, out comes life. That's where we get the resurrection life. And the life cannot be held by the death, right? And so here, I appreciate very much that our attitude toward the experience of the cross, I think, is off because we're not that joyful. Now, it doesn't mean that we need to go and try to find the cross and this and that. Actually, the cross will just come. You have children, you have a spouse, you have coworkers, you have the saints, you serve. The cross will come in all of those situations. So we don't need to worry about when the cross will come. Actually, the cross will come more than you maybe would think or realize. But in every situation, our need is to experience the cross. And the other point for experiencing the cross is we have to exercise our spirit. To exercise our spirit. Actually, the reality of the cross is in our spirit. So in those situations, when we call, oh, Lord Jesus, actually, the cross is there. The cross is there. It's not that you have to crucify yourself. Actually, we're already crucified, right? We've been crucified with Christ, but we need that to be applied in our instant experience by calling on the name of the Lord, right? By exercising our spirit, by coming to the Word of God, and by staying connected to the body. So I just very much appreciate, brothers and sisters, this word of the cross was very fresh this week to me. It's the center of God's universe. And the cross must be the center of our universe. This shouldn't just be something we can say amen to, but it must be something that we put into practice, right? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, and now it is no longer I who live. Brothers and sisters, may that be our reality. It's no longer you who live, but it is Christ who lives in you. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, looking at the diagram above me, one thing is abundantly clear, and that is that if you want to come to the inner court to find the presence of God and to draw near to God, no matter what direction from which you come, the north, the east, or the south, you must first pass through the altar. Likewise, in the New Testament, the cross brings us to the body. The cross brings us to the body. This is illustrated in many portions of the New Testament. I'd just like to share a few with you. You know, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, the Lord prophesies the most important and greatest prophecy in all the scripture, that he will build his church. You know what he says 5 verses later? If anyone wants to come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Then in Ephesians 2:16, it says that he might reconcile both God's people in one body through the cross. Then in John chapter 12, verses 24 and 25, the Lord is speaking by parable concerning his death and his resurrection for the producing of the church, his body. He says that in verse 24. Then in verse 25, he says that we need to lose the soul life, which if you compare to other portions of the scripture, is the experience of the crucified Christ. And finally, the last illustration from the Word I'd like to tell you about is the entire book of 1 Corinthians. Well, if you look at 1 Corinthians as a whole, you'd see that it's Paul's intention and burden in that book to rescue the Corinthians from their self-seeking back to a concern for the body of Christ. That mainly happens in chapters 12 through 14. But if you look at the beginning of that book, in chapters 1 and 2, what does Paul say? He has a strong word about the crucified Christ and about the cross of Christ. So it's the crucified Christ, it's the cross of Christ that brings us to the body. Amen. Well, it is not only that the cross brings us to the body, but the body is actually the realm, and it is the sphere in which the cross operates. That might be a little difficult to grasp, and an excellent illustration is our human body. You know, day by day, for us to exist, there's a persistent, or you could say perpetual process of toxic substances that are being accumulated that the body has to get rid of. Not only, you know, molecules and bad substances and toxins, there are even abnormal cells that grow that need to be terminated by programmed like cell death. And if that doesn't happen, along with the persistent and continual generation of new cells and new molecules, you will cease to exist on the earth. If that happens for a critical period of time, you will just be no more. Your spirit will exist, but your body won't. Well, in like manner, the body of Christ, there is a continual, persistent, perpetual process of death and resurrection that is taking place. And apart from the members of the body of Christ experiencing Christ in his death and resurrection, there is no possibility for the body of Christ to exist as a reality on the earth. If the members of the body, you and I, if we do not experience him in his death and in his resurrection, the body will not exist as a reality. It's possible that we could still have an assembly life that could be quite positive. I could help you find a good place to get a haircut. You could help me to find a place to get my car fixed. We could make dinner for one another when there's an event in our lives that's important. Perhaps we have a baby. And, you know, so you help me by making a meal. And that is wonderful. And we can have a good social life. But that does not require much of the experience of Christ in his death and resurrection. But for the reality of the body of Christ to come into existence, there's the necessity for us to experience Christ in this way. So when you look at Paul speaking in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, always bearing about in the body the putting to death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who are alive are always being put to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death operates in us, but life in you. Can you see this isn't like a point that you come to and then it's checking a box and moving on in your Christian life. This is a process that's always going on. Death operates in you. You're a member of the body. And in me, resurrection life is operating. In Romans chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "For if we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death, indeed we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection." So this is not a kind of thing that happens and then we move on. And it's not a personal experience for me to experience death and resurrection to deal with whatever problems I have, which needs to happen. But this is something going on in the divine and mystical realm of the body of Christ. And so when you consider someone like Madame Guyon and her experience, which is precious and we wouldn't denigrate it anyway, but really such a person should not be considered someone unusual or a hero. It's a normal experience for any sister or brother who's a member of the body of Christ to have a living where they experience the cross of Christ and experience Christ in his death and resurrection. So, what's the application? This is kind of abstract, right? A mystical realm where death and resurrection is taking place. Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 13 says something about it, and that's related to the experience. But before going on to experience, we need something of knowledge. And Brother Abraham mentioned this a little bit, but I'd like to tell you, you know, concerning knowing the divine spiritual things of the Bible, there are at least three kinds of knowing. Maybe there are more, but at least three. One is knowing the black and white letters, basic knowledge. Another is knowing by revelation. And then there's knowing by experience. And we should never despise merely knowing the Scripture. We need to know the black and white letters of the Bible. We need to read the Bible. We need to know what the Bible says. As we know what the Bible says, this opens the door for the Lord as the Spirit to come shine on the truths of the Bible and make them real to us and become a revelation to us and enlighten the eyes of our heart. Well, once that happens and we have revelation and the truth is real to us and it's been put into our being, then there's something of experience that can happen. And Paul speaks about this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He says, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. But to have that, we need revelation. And to have revelation, we need to know the facts of the Bible. So these are the three kinds of knowing. But how about, what is the experience? Coming back to Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Paul said that, "For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live." So, but if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. And so there's kind of two things here. On the one hand, there's the Spirit's putting to death. But on the other hand, there's our cooperation. And, you know, how this plays out in our daily living, my experience is this. And I gotta be honest, it's limited. My experience of this is limited, but I can't say I've had no experience. That would be dishonest. I have had some experience, but we need more. We need more. This should be our living. But it's something like this. You know, things happen, as Abraham mentioned, in our daily living, whether it's with our spouse or at work or with the brothers and sisters or our children, and it produces a reaction. We feel a certain way. A lot of times it's the emotion. Get a very strong feeling. And we may not have much feeling, but sometimes, by the Lord's mercy, there's a feeling there. And there's some shining. That, and the Lord seems to be telling me, that's your natural old creation life. That response is the old creation. What are you going to do with it? What do you do? Well, my experience is this. When there's an amen and an acknowledgement of the Lord's word and the Lord shining, I say, Lord, you are right. I judge that. I say, amen. That is the old creation. I don't stand with it. That shining becomes the Spirit. And the Spirit applies the death of Christ to our being. Now, just share with you one specific experience, but I'll keep it general. I was going with another member of the body to visit a family. And we didn't happen to know that that family was going through some difficult times and they needed some supply. We were just going to visit. And on our way to go visit them, between myself and the other person that I was traveling with, there was a misunderstanding. They thought I meant something that I didn't mean. And then they leveled, this sounds harsh, and I don't know an easier way to say it. They leveled an accusation against me, you could say it. So, but I was right, they were wrong, and I knew they were wrong, but as soon as I wanted to begin to respond to it, you know what happened? By the Lord's mercy, there's just a shining. Shining said, don't react, don't respond. That's the old creation. Well, I said amen. What happened when I said amen? Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 became real to me. It says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Saints, when we say amen to the Lord speaking, in such a situation where there's the reaction in our being that's of the old creation and of the natural life, we say amen, the Spirit applies the death of Christ, and there is a sense of peace. And that reaction just dissipated. Well, we got to the home of that family, and we just began to speak to them. And, you know, they opened up, and in the fellowship, there was just supply to minister to them. And my feeling was, had I not cooperated with the Lord and His shining in that circumstance on the way there, probably no ministry, probably no supply to those saints. But, you know, I feel like this was somewhat of an experience of 2 Corinthians 4. So then death operates in us, but life in you. You know, I think all of us have the heart to be able to not only care for the saints. Of course, we need the practical care in the church life. There's no doubt about that. And we need more of it. And we need more care for one another. But I think we all have a deep longing to minister life to one another and to really be able to shepherd each other by the supply of the divine life. But for this, and you know, this supply brings in the body. But to have this, we need the experience of Christ in his death, which brings in his resurrection. And I just echo what Brother Abe said. You know, this is really a matter of our exercise of our faith. The Bible says we are one spirit with the Lord. In that one spirit is everything of Christ, including his death and resurrection. And so, in the circumstances when the Lord shines, it's good if we can spend some time with him, but many times there's not that opportunity. But we can exercise our faith and believe that the supply of the Spirit is in our spirit. And in that instance, in fellowship with the Lord, he will apply his death to us. And that brings in the resurrection life. Well, so saints, I just end by repeating, the cross leads us to the body, and the body is the sphere. The body is the realm in which the cross operates, and how we need this experience for the body of Christ to be a reality on this earth. Amen.
We'll have our prophesying time now, so all the saints will have their portion and a chance to share their portion and enjoyment in the word. So let us have the languages dismissed to their rooms, and we will sing and enjoy hymn 482 as they go to their respective rooms.